Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert Half Genie Zero, and with me I have...
I'm Alex, your one-up boy, except not because I'm happily taken.
And we, as you can tell, we have a very special guest with us here today. Would you like to introduce yourself,
sir? Do I have to introduce myself, or are you going
to
do it?
Would you like to introduce yourself, sir? I mean, you laughed, so obviously you have something to say.
No, I'm good. You introduce me, and then I'll talk about myself. Yeah. That's okay with you.
Okay, even though he already technically kind of talked about himself. So over here, we have our good friend, the editor-in-chief of this Surreal Resolution thing, Tyler.
Hi.
He hosts the...
This is the first time I've ever been on the Decibel Boost podcast.
Yes.
I'm very musically ignorant. I don't know the bands and the bells and the whistles and whatever they use to make music nowadays, so I typically stay away from Rob's thing, but, you know, I think Rob puts on a pretty good show here. I just stay out of his way, so... But here I am now, stinking up the whole podcast.
It's very nice for someone who's always talking shit about me on his podcast. Yeah.
So if this show is in subpar quality, you know who to blame.
Look, everyone wants my presence on a show, okay?
Oh, yeah?
I'm very, very, very well-demanded person.
Oh, really? Then how come you're not on the Let's Fight a Boss podcast, or the Easy Allies podcast, or...
Maybe one of these days, man. You never know.
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
You're just gonna be chilling out with Kyle Bossman, Brandon Jones, and the Schick Hydro Band.
I would hang out with the Schick Hydro Band. None of that this year, though.
Maybe you can show up to Colin Moriarty's house and say, you were wrong about the Switch, Colin!
Colin Moriarty, he's not doing a lot of that game business anymore, so I'm not going to get into politics with Colin Moriarty.
Instead...
He's doing what he's doing. Good for him. That's great.
See, instead, what you need to be doing is shilling for Uber Eats on live streams.
Has anyone here tried that yet?
What, McDonald's on Uber Eats or just Uber Eats in general?
Just Uber Eats in general.
I have. I have. It worked out pretty well, but I wouldn't do it again. I mean, I can just order McDonald's online and pick it up since it's literally 500 feet from my house.
Health.
Look, here's my problem with Uber Eats. There's too many hands touching my food. Okay, it's bad enough that somebody's making my food at a fast food restaurant. So it's got to go from the person making it to the person that's going to give it to the Uber driver, to the Uber driver, and then to me. That's too many hands touching my food. I don't like that. One bit.
Yeah, funnily enough, we actually had Uber Eats for dinner tonight. Ordered from some barbecue place. It was pretty good.
I was driving down the street and I saw McDonald's is doing it now. I'm just, what kind of world do we live in? Like, my local McDonald's is doing it now.
We live in a world...
Like, somebody's going to get shot doing this, I swear.
We live in a world where people are incredibly lazy.
That's true, we do.
But dude, it's like you don't even need Uber Eats for that. Like, I've seen news stories of people getting into fist fights over McChickens in the drive-thru.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't understand why people fight over fast food. It's ridiculous.
I don't know. Why don't you tell that to all the parents that are busy getting into fistfights at every single Chuck E. Cheese in America? A thing that actually does happen more times than should be possible.
Well,
what do you mean my kid is 10 tickets off from a Tootsie Roll? You're going to give it that to him now. Chuck E. Cheese does have killer music, though. I think everyone needs to know Chuck E. Cheese's band is the greatest band you'd ever talk about on the Decibel Boost podcast. Did you guys ever talk about the animatronics just going,
no,
going away?
No, we don't do that. If we want to talk about animatronics playing music, we talk about insert pop group here.
See, no. You guys got this all wrong. You need to that's real music, okay? That's real music. That's what you need to talk about. I mean, that band going away is just a tragedy.
They need to get Chucky and his band to play at the Game Awards 2018.
With Schick Hydro Man.
I would love that. I think Jeff should really do that next year. That would be fantastic.
You know, hook up Chucky with, like, the friggin' orchestra so that way we don't have the dude from Avenged Sevenfold there for some reason.
Yeah. Get rid of him. Get the animatronics in. Get Shig Hydra Man. And why not? Get Kendrick Lamar in there as well.
You know, I can just see it now. Like, there would be this beautiful orchestra, right?
Right.
And then they're just playing this amazing music from God of War because it's going to be up for so many nominees next year. And then Chuck E. Cheese just blasts through the wall. He's got his guitar, you know what I mean? It's going to be great.
Doing the solos, man. It's going to be...
Like, Chuck E. Cheese, they're literally going to have a big wall, and Chuck E. Cheese is just going to slide right out the wall with his guitar. He's going to rock it out, dude.
Maybe Chris Sabat could do a cameo, like in that one Chuck E. Cheese movie that apparently everybody but me hates.
Wait, when the hell did they ever make a Chuck E. Cheese
movie? What was that... Alex, what was that game about it was an indie game. They showed it at E3. It was, the kid with the guitar.
Oh, yeah, that one. You know, that one, yeah.
It wasn't The Last Night. That was something different. I forget
the name, but it's like a progressive rock brutal legend.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. But that's when they're going to bring Chuck E. Cheese on the stage when that game gets an award with his guitar.
He's going to perform Roundabout.
That's a JoJo reference I actually get.
You better, Tyler. Otherwise, what the fuck am I doing writing on your goddamn site? I'm not going to fucking get bossed around by some nerd that doesn't know JoJo references.
Look, I've seen a few episodes of JoJo, and I get enough of the JoJo references.
A few? Oh boy, dude, when we're done with this, I'm fucking strapping you in the chair like this, like fucking Clockwork Orange.
I just don't watch a lot of anime anymore, Rob, you know?
I know.
Well, that's what New Year's for.
I've been meaning to watch Made in Abyss for like 3 weeks now, and I'm just like, I don't know. I would rather play Waifu Blade right now. It's just, more engaging to me. And we've been so busy with Christmas and moving, it's been crazy. So hopefully once we settle down, I can pick up a few new anime and watch those.
But you know, in the meantime, enjoy your games and all the music that comes in those games. And speaking of music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was a point to this. It's not just, like, bullshit meandering for 7 minutes. Wow, seven and a half minutes.
Welcome to the Trading Stage Podcast, everyone, where we ramble for 30 minutes about whatever.
But, yes, this is a mixing of the two big podcasts of the site. You know, the only two that matter.
Hey!
Right. Podcast O&A doesn't matter.
Neither.
Fuck you, Tyler!
It's funny when it happens to other people.
Fuck you, Rob!
It's only funny when it happens to other people, Alex. Fuck you. But yes, this is the intermixing of our two big podcasts. You know, music and video games coming together into one glorious place. Well, there will be no Phoenix. Mm. Although I did kind of like that performance.
It's been a long time coming. I'm surprised we hadn't done this sooner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sometimes on your podcast, we're always talking shit about each other on each other's podcast, which reminds me,
right, exactly.
I need to talk shit about you because of a very specific comment you made. What was that you said about last year's Game Awards having annoying music performances?
Yeah.
So, okay, I get Ray Schremer because they're annoying as hell, but are you saying Run the Jewels and the Doom guy are annoying? How fucking dare you?
I mean, Run the Jewels was okay, but the Doom thing was just kind of whatever.
Mick Gordon, Matt Halper, and Sonic Youth. Come on, man.
I thought this year's was better, to be honest.
Nerd. There were only, like, two performances. The orchestra and...
But they were all orchestrated. They were awesome.
And there was that one performance from that one indie rock band that I can't even bother remembering.
I told you, Phoenix.
They did Jump Up Superstar on stage live with the actual singer of the song. Come on, that was awesome.
Okay, yes, but I'm talking about the other performance, the one nobody remembers.
Phoenix. Oh, I don't remember that.
Exactly.
One.
Exactly my point.
I remember the one at the beginning. And
but
the
you
one
remember
at the
last
end.
Year's, don't you?
I remember not liking them. I remember going to the bathroom during them.
This is why you're a music scrub, Tyler. You gotta open your mind.
I told you, I really don't listen to much music at all.
You know, unless it's from a guy named, what's the name here, Rukinetsu?
I do listen to a lot of Rukinetsu, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you better use his music for your podcast.
I really do like Rukinetsu's music. Like, genuinely enjoy his music.
Yeah, I like what I've heard from him. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, man. Totally. And I listen to tons of video game soundtracks, too, so hopefully I can be of some use.
Yeah, so that's basically what we're doing here. We're just having a... We're supposed to be joined by John, but apparently he has stomach problems. I think he ate some bad fried chicken.
He wasn't feeling good tonight, so I just told him to take it easy and not worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, we'll have... I know he really wanted to be on this show, by the way. Like, he was like... He was even asking me, like, how long do you think it'll be? I'm like, I don't know. It's probably gonna be a little bit long, maybe, or maybe not. And I just said, don't worry about it, John. There'll be other opportunities for us to talk about music this year. So, he definitely wanted to be on tonight.
Look, John, we'll take an IOU.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go. The laziest gift you could ever give on Christmas.
Actually, well, that's not true. I can think of lazy
gift cards.
No. IOU is like the definition of lazy. Like, that means you didn't even bother to go to the store and get a gift card. You're like, you're true. So insignificant in my life that I'm just going to give you something that says IOU.
Oh, Lord.
That's what that means.
You know, I can't really argue with that necessarily. Tyler's not wrong.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob. For once, we can agree on something.
We can also agree that 2017 had a lot of pretty good video games, and also a lot of pretty good video game music. That was the first year in a while that I felt like I was able to play, like, stuff from this year in the year that it came out. I'm usually, I joke that I'm usually at least 3 years behind on everything else. But I managed to squeeze some time in with some games, and hear some music and stuff.
Yeah, man. Covering games this year has been fantastic. Like, a lot of the games that had shipped this year were fantastic. And it started off strong. Like, we got Resident Evil 7 right at the beginning of the year. And, you know, that got led up with Zelda and Horizon. And then we got stuff like Crash during the summer. And then it all kind of came to a close with Mario and Wolfenstein and all these other great games in the fall. So, it's been a really remarkable year, for sure.
It's like there was pretty much never a dull moment, basically. No time to relax. Games everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. And it's not going to stop. I mean, it's looking like all the way through March of 2018, it's going to be packed. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully, like, April and May are a little bit more chill, but I kind of doubt it. There's a lot to be excited about next year, too.
This was a really good year for games. You know, the whole microtransaction bullshit with EA and Activision put aside, heavy hitters all year long.
Yeah.
And there weren't as many delays like 2016 had. Some, yes, but not as much.
Well, you know, the great thing was is that this year had a lot of controversy, too. You know, we saw Scalebound be canceled. We saw Visceral close. There was a lot of talk of, you know, single-player games, are they dying? But in all honesty, this has been a killer year for single-player games.
Yeah,
you know?
Single-player games.
We've gotten games like Resident Evil 7, Horizon Zero Dawn, Zelda, Mario, Crash Bandicoot came back this year. There's so many good single-player experiences out there that it's just... To me, it's completely crazy when people say that that genre is dying, and that's why I fundamentally disagree with everything EA has been doing lately, and that's why... I've said this time and time again on the training stages, like, I refuse to support EA products now. I'm not buying A Way Out. I'm not playing Fade, despite me really liking that game. And I'm not supporting Anthem next year, unless it's, like, truly a change of heart from EA, which I somewhat doubt.
If anything, if you need to buy an EA game, buy it from a local used store. That way, all that money goes directly to them.
Sure. I mean, that's fine.
That's what I do.
Maybe that's when I'll play Anthem or Fade.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that you keep bringing up the single-player thing, because as far as all the video game music, there were five games in specific that I actually wanted to bring up and touch on, like, the ones that stood out to me, and, like, four of the five are technically single-player games. I know one of these has a co-op mode, but I mainly played it single-player, so.
Okay.
And, so should I just dive into the five? Maybe see.
Yeah, sure.
Funny enough, the first of these, the first big game of the year, and probably my game of the year if I think about it long enough, Resident Evil 7.
Huh. That's your game of the year?
Absolutely. I kind of have, like, shall we say, video game memoirs-esque reasons for why that is.
Okay.
Yeah, because, like, quick tangent. The first time I ever played a Resident Evil game, I was, like, in grade school. I want to say 8 years old. At a friend's house. Played Resident Evil 3 for the first time. Still one of the most terrifying experiences I think I've ever had. And even though I do like quite a bit of Resident Evil games, I really like Resident Evil 4. I'll kind of defend Resident Evil 5. Resident Evil 6 can fuck off. I think Resident Evil 7 is the first time in, like, forever that I felt the same sense of, like, stress-inducing, pants-shitting fear that I felt when I first played Resident Evil 3.
Okay.
And I think a big part of that has to do with, like, how it handles the music. First, I kind of want to just quickly bring up a lot of the composers involved, because there were quite a few credited here, and it's kind of interesting, like, most of these are, like, sort of relative newbies or not that much experience on them, at least as far as I could see. There's, let me see the credits here, Akiyuki Morimoto, whose only prior credit was, Resident Evil 6. Hopefully I'm pronouncing this right. Okay. Miyako Chinone, whose only prior credit was Monster Hunter 4. A couple others here, Satoshi Hori. There's Brian De Oliveira, whose only other notable credit was Little Big Planet 3. And then probably the guy with the biggest rap sheet on here, Chris Velasco. His composition credits touch on a surprisingly large amount of games and some particularly big franchises. Perhaps most notably, he's contributed to the God of War series, the Mass Effect series, Prototype, the Borderlands series, Soul Calibur 5, Injustice 1, Overwatch, The Poor Man's Overwatch, Battleborn, Bloodborne, and a bunch of other stuff. This is a guy who gets around quite a bit, and I can tell you, the main thing I like about the music is that it's probably one of... It's not just that I think it's good music in and of its own, I think it's one of the best used game soundtracks I've heard, because obviously I'm a guy who likes himself quite a bit of horror, so you'd be amazed how much music is important to just, like, the sense of terror and unease. And one of the big things I noticed with this game is that there's a lot of, like, kind of ambience, in a sense. Like, most of the... I mean, sure, like, with the boss fights against, like, Jack and Marguerite Baker, the, you know, music there is more just this tense kind of, those, you know, like, when you watch a horror movie, and there's, like, those sharp strings, like, you know, pulling frantically at, like, jump scares or really freak out moments. Yeah, there's stuff like that, but, like, most of the time when you're exploring, like, the houses and stuff, it's a lot of this just low, tense, kind of droning noise, like... Half of it just kind of sounds like you're listening to just, like, metallic dragging, like you expect something to come out and, like, beat you in the face at any minute now, which kind of reminds me a lot of, like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which was one of the big inspiration points for the game, and, like, specifically the dynamic of the Baker family. That movie in and of itself also had a lot of music that was just kind of, like, more noise than, like, an orchestral score, per se. And
sure.
And so I think a lot of that just works really well here in terms of, like, the influence on its sleeve and how it really just kind of creeps into you and just kind of freaks you out in any moment. Like, you're just on edge. Your sphincter tightens to the size of, like, an atom. Also, I feel like mentioning the main theme, you know, the one you heard in all that commercials, the Go Tell Aunt Rhody.
Mm-hmm.
That song just, like, freaks the shit out of me as a main theme. It's just,
no, it's haunting. Yeah,
like, even though it's, like, a big, like, it's technically a big dramatic pop song, it is just, like, yeah, haunting. It's fucking creepy as shit. Anyone have anything?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you're saying, but I'm not quite sure I would describe Resident Evil 7's music as music. It's mostly great sound design. Because, like you're saying, it's just the atmosphere is so well established in that game. Like, that's what makes it so good. It's a true horror game, and I feel like the sounds make it so good. Because, like you said, it's like every single moment you're looking out for something to come out and get you. So you're always keeping an eye out on stuff. And that's what makes the game so good. Like, it's in my top five for the year.
Good to know. Great minds. For sure. Think alike.
Yeah, so I totally agree with you, but I wouldn't say it's a great soundtrack per se, but it's fantastic sound design.
That is an interesting other way of putting it. But like I said, because I'm so used to Texas Chainsaw, like I said, that's kind of my default answer when someone asks me what's my favorite movie of all time. And that's another one of those things where it's like, it's more really? Sound design wow. than necessarily music, but it works so much better than a conventional score, even if those elements are present here.
I gotcha.
Let me just move on.
That's a great movie, though.
Yes, yes it is.
I haven't seen it in years. I probably should watch it again now that I'm older. Hmm.
Let me move on to the second one I have here, and that is, of course, sure. The Return of Good Old Samus with Metroid Samus Return. Wow, I really stumbled into that transition, didn't I?
Metroid Samus Returns.
Yeah, Samus Returns with a game where the title says she returns. Now, not much to say.
It's the only 3DS game I played this year.
Same here. I'm still behind on my Fire Emblems. I still gotta work through them. Fates.
I gotcha.
But yeah, not much to say as far as the credits here. I got kind of mixed messages from IMDb and Wikipedia, but I do know at bare minimum that good old Kenji Yamamoto was involved. You know, longtime composer for the series since, shit, I think Super Metroid. And yeah, that's definitely part of why, like, the music is, of course, as effective as it is, because you have the, you know, the involvement of a longtime veteran who just knows how to make the music in the Metroid series work as well as it does. It's, now I gotta admit, it's been a while since I've played, like, you know, the past Metroid games. Last one I think I played was Prime 3, and that was, fuck, like, 7 years ago?
Wow, okay.
Or, was it older?
Yeah, that's a while.
Yeah, so, I mean, I remember a bit about the music from, like, those games. I know that was often kind of, like, a sore spot for even people that were, like, diehard fans of the game, because it kind of seemed a little, almost kind of, like, cheap MIDI computer music in a way. But I do like the music in here. It's got that same Metroid quality where, again, a lot of it is, like, this ambient, free-floating synths. They kind of drone on endlessly and echo out. It's almost kind of like that same thing with Resident Evil where it's more, like, music that kind of leaves you feeling like kind of isolated and on edge as you're exploring the planet.
Yeah, for sure. And it's really interesting you bring both of those up because they're both games that really rely on atmosphere.
Yeah.
And both of them have such great atmospheric sound design to them.
Although I would say, obviously, Samus Returns obviously has more of, like, actual music, per se.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Of course, obviously, some of the standards are here, especially that theme from, like, the Magmoor Caverns, because that's got to be in every Metroid game. It's, like, a standard expectation at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And...
yeah, definitely.
You know, there's definitely, I mean, occasionally there's sort of music, like, I think one of the better pieces of music is in the section that's just Area 10, as it's marked, because as compared to the other parts, which are kind of these very steady or kind of slow pieces, that one has more of a driving tempo, more rapid synth runs, and at least when I'm listening to the track online, there's this, it definitely works in more of the background noise. You just kind of hear, like, the buzzing electronics and this really uncomfortable squishing sound.
Yeah.
It's creepy. It's like you're stepping on Metroids, and you're like, get this shit off my shoes. It's creepy.
You know, again, I feel like this, it's the same thing for Resident Evil 7. I don't feel like the music, per se, as the soundtrack really stuck out to me, but the sound design really did. There are definitely great tracks in Metroid. You mentioned the Magma track, like, that's iconic. And that was a great version of that track. I'm talking, like, the rooms with the fire in them.
Right.
Like, the really hot rooms. I love that track. But overall, Metroid Samus Returns has great sound design, which is to be expected out of a Metroid game, because that's a lot of what makes a Metroid game, is atmosphere.
And then, of course, I feel like mentioning the fight with the Diggernaut, because that's one of, like, the few themes in the game that's almost primarily orchestraic. Like, there's an actual orchestra playing that. It's not just the synths and electronics going at it. Hell, it's one of my favorite themes in the game. It just makes the fight feel so intense. Even more intense.
Which one to be exact?
The last main fight with the Diggernaut, not like the chase sequence.
Oh, I love that boss battle. It's hard too. It takes a few tries to get it down, but once you do, it's awesome.
Yeah, it feels the most distinct from, like, all the Metroid killings and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose that's all I have to say on that. So now to move on to my third one here. And I got a question for the both of you. You like jazz?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray, no one slapped me in the face for making a B-movie reference.
Okay.
Yes.
What's the game, Rob?
My number three here is a game that I actually got. Yeah, I bought it on Christmas Day because I had like a Microsoft $10 gift card. I was like, maybe I'll buy it. See, it's worth playing. So I managed to score me a copy of good old... Wait, hang on. Let me see here. The guy with the cup for the head. I think his name is Mugman.
Mugman. I gotcha.
Yes. Our good old boy, Cuphead and his pal Mugman, they try to roll the dice. This would actually sound better if I had, like, three other people singing with me. Barbershop quartets and all that. But yeah, Cuphead, credits of the composer, hopefully I'm pronouncing this right, Christopher Madigan. There's like two D's here. So yeah, our good old boy Cuphead, the game that is such a throwback to the animation of the 1930s while kicking your ass with the most frustrating gameplay of 2017. It really is that hard. I died so many times. That reminds me, I have to...
Quite bad.
In fact... They know it's hard because there is a point in the game where you can come across a pool where this spirit comes out and tells you how many times you died. They know.
Mm-hmm.
Those bastards. But yeah, obviously, since this game is a throwback to the 1930s, it's natural that a lot of the music is a lot of jazz, bebop, ragtime, whatever was popular back in those days. And while I think it's appropriate... as a period, just to kind of match the period and aesthetic of everything, being all this fanciful tribute to Fleischer in the early days of Walt Disney, I also think it actually works really well because of the nature of the game. As I said, it's hard as balls. It's one of those fucking frenetic as hell, run and gun shooter, basically bullet hell, as the kids would say, type of games. And with how, like... fast the drum performances tend to be, with how crazy the horn lines are at times, it's the kind of thing that keeps you really... There's a nervous energy to the music that just kind of keeps you on edge at all times, because that's how you're playing the game. Like, you're just on pins and needles as you're trying to, like, wave your way through, like, every wave of attacks, whether it be the fucking crying onion or, like, the flower shooting its face out at you, the fucking... Captain Bluto ripoff with, like, his ship shooting cannons at you as there's a barrel that's, like, trying to crush down on you while the actual captain is, like, summoning sea dogs and squids and sharks. And seriously, that fucking Briny Beard fight gives you so much to manage. What the fuck? But you kind of get what I mean here. There's the fact that it's this very fast, energetic form of jazz really just helps with how... on edge you are as you're playing it. And they know they're proud of it because if you actually go to Studio MDHR's YouTube channel, you can find like a handful of videos that show like the big band actually recording a couple pieces of the music.
Okay.
So if you want to see like what it actually looks like.
I think I've seen those. I actually think I've seen those videos. Those are really neat.
Yeah, if you haven't seen those, you should. It's kind of like neat to see how it kind of slots into everything. And there's a couple of pieces of music in particular I want to point to. The first is with, I forget the exact stage name, because, every boss fight comes with, like, a fanciful title card with, like, some title thing. So I forget the actual title card here. I know the boss, it's this boss named Wally Warbles, which is, it's basically a stage where you're, like, flying in, a jet plane, and you're fighting this fucking evil Woody Woodpecker motherfucker and, like, his goddamn, like, his birdhouse and shit. And then, you hit him a bunch of times, and then he goes down, you fight his evil son, then he, like, comes back from the dead one last time, but then you kill him again. These are boss fights that can go on for a bit. But yeah, the funny thing about this stage is that the actual music, once you get to about the halfway point of the boss fight, there's a brief interpolation of the most obvious music cue that can be thrown into this stage, and that is, Wagner's Flight of the Valkyries. I'm sure, Alex, you have to know that one. you know, you all know the one. That's like one of the few classic pieces of music you can identify by name. You know, the dun 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 dun.
Right.
You know, you've all heard it in
very,
something.
Very, very iconic, right?
Yeah, it's just such a hilariously on the nose, or I guess on the beak type of thing to put in a game like this. And then...
Hey man, I took music 101 in college. I know music.
And then there's another one, and this will kind of be an interesting thing to bring up, because I don't know if Tyler will ever get around to Cuphead soon, but... And I actually wanted to check on this, and I'm not the only one who noticed, according to my searches on the YouTubes, but there is a few side-scrolling stages in the game, one in particular called Funfair Fever, where you're just kind of, like, going through a fucking carnival and shit. The background music, the main, like, track is this fast ragtime piano thing. It plays this melody that I thought, wait, where the fuck have I heard this before? It's not an old jazz thing. I know it's not an old jazz thing. And then I finally looked it up, and I realized... It straight up takes a melody from the soundtrack of Super Mario World. I know the track name, at least when I was searching it in the Mario World soundtrack, is called Athletic.
Athletic, I was gonna say that's probably what it is. They play those on the more platformy stages.
Yeah.
Of Super Mario World.
Yeah, that track, like, just go back and listen to it if you kind of forget what it sounds like, and then look up Funfair Fever in the Cuphead soundtrack. It's the same melody and everything.
Oh, I know Athletic in the back of my head.
So, yeah, that's a...
I've listened to Super Mario World soundtrack so many times, yeah. I pretty much know that soundtrack back in my head.
Yeah, so that's a little thing you kind of want to, you know, throw in the back of your head there. So, yeah, if you want some jazz...
What is this track called? I'm going to listen to it just real quickly.
It's called Funfair Fever.
Cuphead Funfair... There it is. Okay, let's look this up.
And now we will wait for Tyler's reaction. Live, everyone!
Yeah, it's similar.
I'm telling you, it's like, it's almost exact. Like,
I wouldn't say it's exact, but it does sound very, very familiar.
Yeah, that's...
Let me look. I'm going to look and see what the comments are saying.
The fuck was that?
Oh, there it is. That, yeah, that's exact.
See? Told you. I'm not the only one. Hell, there's people on YouTube making videos about this shit and everything.
Yep, yep. Around 35 seconds. That's exactly what Athletic sounds like.
Ah.
Yeah, good eye there, Rob.
Yeah, good to know.
Or good ears, I should say.
Good to know that the Cuphead people also enjoy them some Mayrow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can tell they were obviously inspired by tons of those games.
Hmm.
But yeah, I've listened to quite a bit of Cuphead's soundtrack, and... It's fantastic, obviously. They've nailed the 30s vibe from that, just what they were trying to do. I've yet to play the game, so I can't say a lot about it in terms of how it fits with the game, but in terms of the style that they're going for and the theme, absolutely, they nailed it, and it sounds great.
Can I just say I want to be there when you finally get to play the game for the first time? I want to experience the same level of salt that you had when you were playing Zelda 2.
Or Tesla Grad,
yeah. I've calmed down quite a bit when I play video games.
You say that now. Okay.
Such a beautifully made game, isn't it?
It is, without a doubt. I'm glad it came out good. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, John and I were very scared about that game this year. Yeah. Like, is it going to come out, or is Microsoft going to cancel it? Especially after Scalebound got canceled. Well, we didn't know what Cuphead was going to do.
Considering
so.
It sold 2 million copies so far, I'd say it's doing pretty well.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I mean, that game selling 2 million copies is fantastic. And it will get a sequel. They will work on another one. Mm. Garrett, I'll put money on it. They'll do a sequel. I mean, it's just too recognizable now.
But Tyler, don't you remember the subtitle of the game? Don't deal with the devil. Probably shouldn't make bets on stuff like this.
Yeah, especially with Microsoft.
That's a good reference. That's a good reference, Rob. Well, who's saying they have to do it with Microsoft? They own the IP.
You never know.
Hmm. See? Microsoft doesn't own the IP, so they can do whatever they want with it.
This could be like a Bayonetta scenario. Except for the part where, like, no one's hurting for cash. All right.
So what's your next game, Rob?
Number four. My favorite game about killing them Nancys this year.
I thought you would bring this one up.
Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. Once again, bringing in our good old perennial favorite composer of the current video game age, Mr. Mick Gordon. Because he doesn't love themselves some Mick Gordon music.
The composer of the Doom soundtrack.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
The man responsible for making Doom genty as hell.
Yeah, Doom soundtrack's awesome.
Not to mention he's...
I just didn't like watching it performed live at the Game Awards.
Not to mention he's contributed to other stuff, like, of course, the previous Wolfenstein game, but New Order. And I even think he's, if I recall correctly, he did the most recent iteration of Killer Instinct. Like that,
Yes,
that new Killer Instinct.
Oh, okay. Others.
But for this one, he's actually working with a collaborator. Much like how on New Order, he was working with one of the guitarists of one of my favorite bands, Meshuggah. Oh. Here, he's actually got a different collaborator in mind. This being...
You want to know what he started off with?
What?
He started off making music for Nicktoons, Attack of the Toy Bots, and an El Tigre Nintendo DS game. And PS2 game, I guess.
Okay. Cool.
We all gotta start somewhere.
Nowhere to go it up. But for this game, Mick Gordon is working with a co-composer, that being a rather interesting choice, a Mr. Martin Stig Anderson. If that name kind of sounds familiar, he did the music and sound for another game you might be familiar with, a little indie title called Limbo.
Oh, okay. Great game.
Yeah. And again, Limbo being one of those games much in the vein of, like, Resident Evil or Metroid, where it's really more the sound design as the music, so to speak, as the soundtrack.
Sure.
And a little bit of that kind of makes it into this game, where, like, okay, well, obviously, you know, New Order had a lot of those creepy industrial elements, along with, like, the heavy guitars and, like, just... the gent vibe, you know, before Doom went full gent. This one preserves some of that, especially using on, like, the main theme. But it's more... I'm not sure the right word is ambient, although there are some more of those, like, you know, unnerving industrial vibes that are kind of low-key and moody. Actually, maybe that's the right word, moody, because, like, the plot of the game, it is very... especially if you look at, like, BJ's characterization, there's kind of, like, a somberness to a lot of it. Like, you definitely feel like BJ's a guy who's getting pushed to, like, this fucking limits here. I mean, for fuck's sake, there's that thing that happens in the game that I'm not sure I should spoil for anyone who hasn't played it yet. You probably know the one if you've played it.
I haven't played it.
Am I the only one here who's played it?
Yet.
No, seriously, am I the only one here who's played it?
Yeah,
yes, totally. Yeah, you're the only one that's played.
I haven't gotten around to it yet, and I really need to.
Aw, oh, man. But yeah, it's more moody because that kind of fits the sort of tone of, like, some of the narrative elements and, of course, BJ's characterization as a whole. But it definitely still has a lot of those, like, you know, guitar work that you definitely expect, especially in all those battle scenes. Like, that battle music is just, like, all... heavy as hell, lots of loud blaring electronics, and guitars that are loud and chugging, and they gent. Oh boy, Alex, do they gent. Gent.
That interests me greatly.
I like using the word gent, it's a fun word. But there's definitely more of, like I said, the sort of floatier, sort of ambient pieces. To use a couple of track names here, there's definitely the calming melodies of the song Billy, or I guess the track Billy, which, you know, is one of the character themes for our boy BJ. There's, of course, the theme for the main villain, Frau Engel, which I think they're taking that, like, it's a remix version, sort of, like, the track they had on, you know, New Order and everything. Mm-hmm. There's, like, the lot of really low-key percussion that kind of sounds like a march, you know, like the march of the fucking Nazis doing their evil Nazi shit. And then this kind of unending
They do what they do.
Unending bass drone, kind of just droning on throughout the mix. It almost kind of has this, like, this mechanical sheen. Like, you're hearing, like, a helicopter take off. Like, you know, they're about to go do whatever it is they do with helicopters and shit. And then there's, like I said, a lot of it is very, like, some of it can be quite serene and kind of beautiful in a way. Like, the track Hope, which kind of does instill hope in a kind of weird-ish way. But as good as most of the soundtrack is, there's one part that needs to be addressed here. And you maybe saw people complaining about it on the Twitters in, like, the week that the game came out. And for good reason, like, as soon as I got to the end of the game, I was like, you're fucking kidding me with this shit.
Oh, the credits?
Yeah. So, you get to the end of the game, you know, you finally get to kill that fucking Nazi bitch angle. One of the characters makes a big speech, you know, to the television cameras of the world, the entire world watching, about trying to instill revolution and everything. Yeah! Take over, take America back from these fucking Nazi KKK sons of bitches. And then once the actual credits kick in, it's this fucking really awful, annoying deathcore nu metal cover of the Twisted Sister song "We're Not Gonna Take It."
Oh no!
I even took a brief video of it, and I had to post it on Twitter because I was like I just had to make sure everyone following me was like, "You guys are hearing this shit, right?" I'm not hallucinating this. This is actually something they paid someone to record, or they, like, dug it up from somewhere. From what I could find, apparently the band that recorded this cover was some group called Veilroth. Mm-hmm. Couldn't find anything on them, and I'm just like, okay, I'm not really a fan of Twisted Sister in any sense. Like, I kind of view them in the same way that Alex views Joan Jett. I guess, like, sure, they're technically classics of, like, 80s rock, but I just can't really deal with them, to be honest. But come on, like, even they don't deserve, like, a cover this bad. Like, just no, go away. Don't ever do this again.
Go away.
and I have to wonder if, because this isn't the first time I encountered that this year, because I finally got around to Infamous Second Son this past few days. Okay. And the ending credits theme of that is this mediocre screamo cover of Nirvana's Heart-Shaped Box by some band called Dead Sarah. And I'm like, well, wait, this is actually a thing. Like, this wasn't just a one-off for the Wolfenstein. This is a thing. Like, for real. Can we just, like, again, can we just not? Like, it's already bad enough when every fucking trailer house has to take some classic pop tune and make it all moody and depressed because they think that makes it sound serious for, like, their trailers and crap. But now we have this shit in games?
You mean like in the Battle Angel Alita trailer?
Oh god, they do it there too? I almost forgot.
With Sarah McLachlan's Angel, and it's terrible!
Oh, wait, is that the song that, like, that plays when she's trying to tell you to feed the orphans or adopt the puppies or whatever the fuck crap charity she's behind. Yes,
that song.
Yeah, that. And I'm just like, how many other games do this shit? Because I remember when they could just, like, play the original song. Like, when they had a Pelican song as the ending credits theme for Dead Space 3. That was fine. Remember that, when you didn't have to fuck with the song?
Nobody played Dead Space 3, dude.
I played Dead Space 3.
We don't play Dead Space 3. Nobody plays that game.
But I liked Dead Space 3. Okay. You know, minus all the fucking EA bullshit.
No, we don't deal with Dead Space 3. No. Never.
Well, you'll have to excuse me.
That game doesn't exist.
You'll have to excuse me for loving Dead Space so much.
Okay.
And then moving on to the last one here, which I assume is going to get the most conversation out of us. Let's jump up, Superstore, and go on an odyssey with our super friend Mario. It's Super Mario Odyssey, yeah, guys.
What a fantastic soundtrack. What a great soundtrack.
Just one little thing I want to make a note about the credits here that I find really interesting is that there's kind of a good mix of, like, sort of generations here. Because as far as the credited composers, you have Naoto Kubo, whose only credits so far include Super Mario Maker and Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. You got Shiho Fuji, who's been around since, I think, 2007, since Wii Fit, and has composed for quite a few Nintendo titles, Splatoons 1 and 2, New Super Mario Bros., Skyward Sword, things of that nature. And then, of course, Koji Kondo, who's been there since basically day one. Right. Kind of like that generational intermixing Legend. In a way.
I will say this about Super Mario Odyssey's soundtrack, is that I don't feel like it hit me as hard as Galaxy's did. I think Galaxy's soundtrack is probably the most legendary Nintendo soundtrack ever composed. I think that soundtrack is just straight up beautiful.
I think Galaxy gets a point because it was the first time they brought in a full orchestra. So
that was Galaxy 2.
Oh, Galaxy 2. That
they did that. Yes, Galaxy 1 was still... Galaxy 1 was still computerized, basically. But there were some orchestrated, but not the whole soundtrack. Okay. Galaxy 2 was the first time they did it full-blown. But I will say this. The moment that hit me the most in Super Mario Odyssey, it's right in the beginning of the game, when you enter Cascade Kingdom and you hear that soundtrack for the first time. It literally teared me up. Like, it's just such a beautiful track. And then you get into that area for the first time, you're like, oh my god, this game is so special.
Yeah, that...
Like, it just, it hits you like, boom, like, this, you know this game is gonna be great.
It's only the beginning, and it's such, that Cascade Kingdom theme is such this triumphant, you know, piece of music, and it has those, you know, appropriate elements of, like, you're exploring, like, this prehistoric area, which kind of leads me to my main point of why I love it as a soundtrack. It's such, every track is such this perfect... It vibes so perfectly with each level. Like I said, the Cascade Kingdom, as triumphant as the orchestra is, you also get, like, those sort of primitive, sort of caveman-ish elements that fit with just, you know, the prehistoric shit and the T-Rexes and crap.
Exactly.
And then, of course, when you get to the Tostarena Ruins, you know, that whole kingdom area, it's all, of course, very desert-sounding. You have, like, those Spanish flamenco guitars and the rest of that, like, you know, Latin instrumentation. And then, of course, you know, like,
not as striking, but it really works.
Yeah, like I said, like, it, everything I just vibes so well. And then, of course, there's the big highlight section for me. Of course, we're talking New Donk City.
New Donk City, oh, that theme is legendary.
Jump up super. In fact, if Wolfenstein 2 has the worst music moment of the year with that fucking end credit song, I think Mario Odyssey has the best. The actual festival, when you're going through, like, that 2D, you know, side-scrolling obstacle course.
Oh, God, don't even get me started.
With the superstar
theme, we have to...
as, you know, as it's playing, you're scrolling through... It's already a perfect song in its own, and hearing it with, like, a 2D backdrop in place already makes it great. But I think the second where it, like, crystallized into sort of, like, a shotgun blast of pure musical majesty... is the second you get to that last run that's basically just a recreation of the original Donkey Kong. Like, that just that...
Oh, it's so cool.
That got me right here in the feels.
Now, Rob, I have to stop you here because we can't go any further than that in terms of music. Because I know there's moments after that, but I don't want to spoil anything for Alex.
I just want to say, Tyler, how you felt when the game started is how I felt when... the whole festival began. Just hearing that song play through everything, and you're going through the sections, the TD section, the Donkey Kong section, it's just... it's the most charming moment of an already extremely charming game. It's just...
Oh, don't get me wrong. That's one of the most... That's one of the best gaming moments this year.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
That moment when you go into Cascade Kingdom, and there's one other moment where I also was, like, very emotional, and I can't talk about it. I just cannot talk about because I don't want to spoil it.
Well,
like, but that game, I have never smiled more playing a game than when I played Mario.
We'll get to talking about the game at some other point, but yeah, for now, yes,
the music. Shoutouts to Lake Kingdom and Seaside Kingdom too. Both have really nice soundtracks to them. Very peaceful sounding.
Yeah, you know, water levels. It helps you, like, just relax. Mm-hmm. You're going for a nice swim.
Lake Kingdom's very beautiful, and then Seaside Kingdom's more, like, a little bit more energized. It reminded me a lot of Sunshine with a Seaside Kingdom. I'm sure a lot of people thought that as well.
Hint, hint.
Probably. I mean, the funny thing about that Cascade Kingdom theme is that I kept checking through comment section because I swear the actual melody of that sounds so familiar. Like, a lot of people kept saying, oh, this is, like, a track from Mario Galaxy, but they were just saying that, like, metaphorically, not like, oh, hey, it's the same melody as this one track from Mario Galaxy.
It was no, like, yeah, it's nothing like that.
I swear to God, I've heard that melody before, and if I don't find out where, it's gonna kill me. But one of the things that we'll say is that, and I'll try to say this in as spoiler-free a manner as possible, is just how well it does, like, rework classic Mario themes, especially, like, again, going back to New Donk City for a moment, in one of the cafes, like the cafe area, you can hear like this very nice jazzy remix of the overworld theme from Super Mario World, like this jazz piano type of thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Right.
And I think this kind of goes back to the point I made about like the composer credits, because I think part of why the music works as well as it does is because you have that intergenerational mixing. You know, you have Kondo, the foundation, the man who's been there since the beginning, and then you have, like, some of the newer talent, like Shiho Fuji, who, you know, has somewhat of a name with some of the more recent big titles, especially with, like, the Splatoon games and Skyward Sword. And then, of course, Naoto Kubo, who's more, you know, noobish. So you have the foundation mixed with, like, new blood. So, you know, the new ideas to help sort of push what the classics are doing into, like, new territory and new stuff, and it just makes it everything, you know, feel so fantastic and perfect. That's just my opinion, though. And that's basically about it for, like, big gaming soundtracks for me. I mean, I'm sure there were other games around that I played, but, yeah, like, those were the ones that stuck out the most.
Yeah, Super Mario Odyssey is fantastic, and it has one of the most memorable Mario soundtracks in recent years. I mean, 3D World had some moments. Galaxy 2 certainly had some moments, but nothing like this since Galaxy 1. I truly believe this. It's really remarkable what Nintendo's done.
Abso-fucking-lutely. And
I mean, Odyssey is a remarkable game. Like, if you have a Switch, you need to play it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll fill in a couple games that I feel like are missing from your list. All great games, Rob. Definitely. Great choices.
Hey.
Gotta give shout out to Sonic Mania by T-Lux.
Yes.
Wow, what a soundtrack.
Yes.
The theme Friends is amazing. The menu screen, the save file, everything, every track in that game is amazing. It's top tier. If you want a great retro soundtrack, that's the one to get. It's amazing. They did a fantastic job with that soundtrack.
I still need to play Sonic Mania. Instead, I'm just...
Oh,
yes,
you
do.
Fucking Sonic Forces, you
buy it on your Switch. Sonic it's like Forces. $20.
Waste of time.
It's like $20.
I told Rob to sell his copy of Forces and buy Mania instead.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Ugh. Rob don't want to give it up.
I gotta send Forces back. I'm tired of this game. I'm ready to play something else.
Forces soundtrack really didn't resonate with me too much.
Yeah,
it just kind of sounded like, hey, here's some high-energy Japanese electronic stuff. Maybe there's a Crush 40 song in here.
It didn't resonate with me. Shout-outs to Breath of the Wild. In terms of audio design, fantastic. What a great atmospheric game. Again, just one of those games that I feel like stands out as more of a sound design experience more than a soundtrack, but... Did you guys know that the Animal Crossing composer did Breath of the Wild? I mean, it's...
Really? Huh.
Yeah, and it's especially apparent if you go into a cave. The cave theme is so Animal Crossing, and it's beautiful. It's like one of the most calming, relaxing tracks in that game.
I still need to play Breath of the Wild.
It's... Oh, Rob, you haven't played it yet?
I have not. The only Switch games I've played so far are Odyssey and Splat and Sonic.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else there was here on my mind. Oh, Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Epic music. I mean, that's to be expected for Monolith, but a beautiful soundtrack for sure. So many great tracks from that game. So I said Sonic Mania, Breath of the Wild. Xenoblade's great. We talked about Mario. You know, I haven't played this, but Nier Automata's got a great soundtrack as well.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, didn't that...
And that's I've listened to a lot of that soundtrack.
Yeah, didn't that win, like, at the Game Awards? I think that was one of the best soundtrack.
I believe
I think so.
Yeah, because I knew it was a Persona 5, and if it was a Persona 5, it had to be Nier.
It was Nier. I'm pretty sure it was Nier. And Persona 5 is another great one. I can't believe I forgot about that. That also has a fantastic soundtrack.
Yes, it was. Yeah, Nier Automata did win Best Music at the Game Awards.
Oh, great soundtrack for sure.
I still need to play both.
But overall, this year has been fantastic for games, especially just in terms of quality, but music has been great this year too. There's so many great soundtracks that came out of this year. I mean, last year really what we had Doom, which was really good. I feel like Final Fantasy 15 soundtrack was really awesome. From last year, and The Last Guardian was good. I like 15 personally. I think it's a fine experience.
I'm still not sure. That's just my opinion, to be honest.
I've grown to like it a lot, actually. Just after playing it, I want to go back and play the DLC. I'm just waiting for a sale on the season pass.
I'm probably just gonna wait until there's like a complete edition, if there ever is gonna be one. Otherwise,
oh, I don't blame you, and there will be. Yeah. There definitely will be. Square usually does that.
Let's hope so.
But, I guess that's it. I mean, I can't really think of anything else that really stuck out to me. I'm sure the moment we leave it, I'll be like, that game had a great soundtrack. But overall, it's been a really great year for game music.
I guess that leaves me, and, I can't really contribute much since you already listed off Sonic Mania, Cuphead, Odyssey, Persona 5, Nier, and Zelda. But there is one particular piece of music that, for the most part, really got to me. Granted, it's most of the music in this game is from a year ago for Pokemon Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, but the theme for Ultra Necrozma... Oh, man. It is as swooping an epic theme as it can be, because it starts off very majestic. Da, 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 da. And then it gets that... And then it just goes into this amazing battle theme. Even better when you get this organ that just swoops in. And it's for...
I just love Alex's representation there.
Well, I am the music major here.
Yeah, but, I can tell you're really good with your tongue, Alex.
Yes, I have practice. But anyway, this theme is for probably the hardest battle you'll ever find in any Pokemon game. And it's so befitting of that honor. It's such an amazing, epic theme for what it's already an amazing game. It has an amazing soundtrack. It's just... amplifies everything to that next level. Oh, it's so worthwhile. It's... words alone can't describe how good it is, but I guess I'll just continue on with my own comments about some of the other games, like Cuphead. So I haven't played it yet. I'll get around to it as soon as I motivate myself to buy it on a sale, or just buy it on a whim, or whenever I have money to spare.
Let me know how many times you die before you beat it.
Probably a thousand times over. Yeah. But Cuphead. I love how they implemented all this jazz and swing and big band to this beautiful 1930s Fleischer harmonizing Disney-style animation. It just blended together. And for someone like me who's into the history of animation, going back to days of harmonizing Fleischer, MGM, Warner Brothers, Disney... I'm into that kind of stuff, and it's just such a beautiful homage and tribute to, the golden age of cartoons, as people like to call it.
Woo! Most certainly. Totally agree.
Of course, I already talked about Super Mario Odyssey, how that theme and that festival scene is beyond words, and how...
it's gold!
Yeah. I will say...
Really good, yeah.
I kind of like the music in Sonic Forces, but that's only because the gameplay is kind of underwhelming, so it makes that look better by comparison. It's the simple things that I'm into. But, of course, it's got nothing on Sonic Mania. My god, that opening theme. And, of course, you have Zelda Breath of the Wild. All these atmospheric pieces of music, soft pianos and strings. It's chill music.
I'll straight up say it. That game's probably got the best sound design in any open world game.
You're here. It's just chill music all around.
It's so beautiful. All the like the atmospheric sounds are just amazing.
And I'm also into a lot of the jazzy rock music in Persona 5. I'm all about that.
Oh yeah, yep, which definitely.
I really need to start because ever since I graduated college, I've been in a slump. I'm trying to get myself out of. Like, all these big games that came out at the start of the year, I just couldn't play because I was so dedicated on finishing college. And I did that, and I still haven't touched them because I'm just in a slump. But, you know, New Year's coming up. I got plans to get myself out of that.
Yeah, man. Make that your New Year's resolution. Oh, clear out that backlog.
I'm not going to do that because I'll never do it.
Well, if you keep telling yourself that, you're never going to get
it. I've already got my plan set, but it's not going to be like a resolution, because if I set it as a resolution, it'll never get done.
Oh, okay.
He's not wrong, necessarily.
Yeah.
So, anything else?
Oh, one more thing. Tekken 7. Hell yes. Oh, Tekken 7. That music pumps you the fuck up! I don't know why I did that. Ow.
I still need to get myself a copy.
I got it on Black Friday. It's sitting in a box right now.
We got to do a tournament one of these days.
That'd be fun. I'd be down with that. Mm-hmm. I think John bought it, too.
Whoever picks Eddie Gordo is disqualified.
Yeah, I know. You know what? He did buy it.
He's the other fighting game.
He bought that in Horizon.
Actually, he's the fighting game guy. I'm the other fighting game guy around here. Y'all seem to forget that.
I'm just the casual here. No, John's our fighting game guy.
And I'm the other fighting game guy. John will fight you for that title. That's why I keep telling y'all.
I'm the sub fighting game guy. Okay. I'm like the midway point between John, Alex, and Tyler.
I don't play many fighting games, though, honestly.
I play a good amount of them. I just suck at them really bad.
Like, I'll play Tekken, and I'll get Soul Calibur next year, and that'll be it. Maybe Dragon Ball.
I'm sorry, maybe Dragon Ball?
I'm not into, like, Street Fighter or anything like that.
Okay, here's what you do to prepare for Dragon Ball FighterZ. Buy Guilty Gear. Play it for 100 hours.
Nah, I'm good. I'll just get Dragon Ball FighterZ instead. And just play that. I don't got time for that, Alex.
Wow, what a dork.
I'm a busy man.
Yeah, busy waiting until like 2 weeks after the fact to edit podcasts.
Oh, shut up, Rob. I knew you were going to get a little bit of a burn in
there. Get our shows done within a couple of days. That's all we're saying.
That's good for you. Good for you. I got different problems here, man.
I got a full-time job. What's your excuse?
I'm a full-time college student in the middle of a move.
I'm part-time job and part-time college student, bitch.
Shut
up, Rob.
An hour a day goes a long way.
But,
I guess.
We're just roasting each other at this point. I'm not sure we all have anything else to say about game music.
Music is good. Let there be more in 2018.
Just like, all music is good, but game music is also, like, good.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose at this point, before the roastings proceed, this is where we, I mean, usually we like to clean house, you know, sign out, tell people where they can find us on the internet.
We don't do that no more.
Well, I mean, you don't, but we do it over here on Decibel.
We do.
Oh, okay.
So, Alex, where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, me?
Yes.
There's nobody else named Alex.
Discord cuts out. You should know that. Oh my god, Aura of Azure, literally everywhere. Search it on the internet and you'll find me. That's all you gotta do. It's really that simple.
And now for Mr. Tyler over here.
Well, you know, you can find me where this podcast is posted on surrealresolution.com. I'm the editor over there, you know. So anytime these silly guys post something, I always look at it. I even look at yours, Alex. Don't think you, I don't.
Okay.
I'm all seeing. That's why I corrected that image you posted and 3 stars that you posted on that other article.
I didn't know how to do that.
Well, that's a good thing. I still look at your
articles. Good.
Ladies.
But yeah, you could find me over there. I edit. You can find me on the Training Stage Podcast, which is a podcast I post whenever I feel like it. Next year, it will be weekly again, I promise. I'm getting a new laptop so I can edit anywhere, so I don't have any excuses no more.
Good.
Nice.
See? I got plans in place.
Now,
right.
When is my show going to be on iTunes?
It's not already?
No.
I swear I submitted it.
If you did, I was not told about it. And if it's not there, it's not there.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
Maybe it was their fault. Maybe they didn't do something. So I'll submit it again, okay?
Okay.
He's right, you know. I mean, every time they post an episode, I always check on Google Play to see if it comes up so I can listen on the way to work. It's never there. Come on, Tyler.
We'll get it up. I thought it was up already.
Well, you got to verify these things, man. You got to do your job.
You should have told me earlier, Alex. You should have told me earlier. I don't pay attention.
Well, then what makes you think you're going to pay attention now?
Well, he brought it to my attention, so now I'm going to do something about it, right, Rob?
I don't know, man. You have delayed responses on things sometimes, you know?
Well, I'm a busy man.
Yeah, sure, busy.
Well, Alex, just send me a message tomorrow, and we'll get it settled this weekend.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sounds good.
You're going to have to buy me something for dinner, you know, for this to happen.
I'll buy you these nuts, motherfucker.
Oh, I like those.
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Apparently, you're the only one who likes roasted nuts around here.
I do like roasted nuts, actually.
Ah, God damn it, Tyler. He doesn't get the reference.
Salted? I like them salted, too.
But anyway, moving on from the nut talk. as for me... You can find me on various social media places, but mainly on Twitter at Rob Barracuda, where I shitpost bad memes and jokes. For example, Crush 40 is Smash Mouth for weeaboos. That's just a fact. That's a scientific fact.
Okay.
Of course, if you have any hate mail, you can send all of that to Tyler@SurrealResolution.com. I will read every letter sent me. Actually, for real, Robert@SurrealResolution.com. Come on, hit me up. I will shill for anything, I swear. Especially Taco Bell.
Nobody's going to email you, Rob. Nobody wants to talk to you.
But maybe Taco Bell will.
Let's face it.
Them and their corporate overlords will maybe sponsor this podcast.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Of course, remember to follow Surreal Resolution on all the places. Just search Surreal Resolution anywhere. Or hell, follow on Twitter @SurrealReso. Go to the site, listen to our podcasts, listen to the 2 separate podcasts that make up this podcast, you know, podcast cross-pollination stuff. I'm rambling at this point.
That sounded so wrong. That sounded so wrong, Rob. You're tired. You need to go to bed.
Well, excuse me for trying to promote brand synergy, you know.
Well, I don't think pollination was quite a right way to describe the crossover episode, Rob.
We talked about, you know? Cuphead. One of the bosses in that game is a flower. I'm allowed to make pollination jokes. Right, and one of the bosses in that game is a queen bee.
Pollination jokes. We'll talk about Conker's Bad Fur Day. You know, that's
yeah.
You know, that's real pollination.
She's a sunflower with big breasts.
Love that game.
Good
so much.
Times. Oh, and I suppose, of course, shout-outs to both Mr. E and Rukunetsu for supplying the music for this episode and for both shows. Yep. Links to their shit will be in the description. And hope you enjoyed listening to this rambly hour and 10-minute bullshit. Thanks to the Kokiri person here for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Rob and Alex. I appreciate it. It was fun. Mm-hmm. I would maybe do this again.
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Although next time we have to have John to break up the awkwardness.
I don't think it was awkward.
Are you sure?
Thought it was fun.
Well, I mean, awkward can be fun.
We don't need
sometimes.
John here. I mean, yeah, it can, but I'm just saying we didn't need John here.
Oh, you better hope he doesn't catch you saying
John
that.
John would just call you an idiot and move on, you know?
Oh. He's going to have words to say about that once he hears this. But yes.
All he has to say is, the original Dante is better.
Shut your fucking whore. Now let's leave the show on that. I will literally fight John over this. In fact, here are the official Dante rankings once and for all. The best Dante is Bayonetta. The second best Dante is Reboot Dante. The worst Dante is Normal Dante.
I'll agree with you that Bayonetta is best Dante, but I think you got the last two backwards. But you know what? That's okay. You're entitled to your opinion. You're just wrong.
Shut up, Tyler. You're the one with the wrong opinion.
Okay, you say so.
I mean, after all, I'm older than you, so I'm more experienced and I have more knowledge of this shit.
Oh, okay.
That's how it works, dummy.
This was a beautiful disaster. Thank you.
Yes. You can, in fact, call us the Disaster Artists.
I just wrapped this up, Rob. I gotta go to the bathroom.
Yeah, so thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the next episodes of both of these podcasts. And until next time, I am enjoying these microtransactions.
See you guys later. Bye.
See ya.